Who will judgment be harder for, those in the past or those at the end of the age? Those that study the Bible at this time are truly blessed. We have the records from the patriarchal and the apostles' times. The current resources and study tools are vast and knowledgeable. With this thought, two scriptures should come to mind and into sharper focus. If you would, turn to Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4. In listening to the scripture reading today, I realize that judgments can also mean ordinances. But we're going to be looking at judgments in the sense of condemnation, even punishment, discipline, I guess we could say, in some instances. But Daniel 12 and verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Is that happening now? I think we see that happening. And knowledge shall be increased. Do we see this happening? Just in the last 100 years, we see this happening. From the black and white televisions going to color, now they have 3D. And technology is advancing at a phenomenal rate. We see information technology doubling at a phenomenal rate. Doubling something like every 6 months now. Used to be every 7 years, and then went to like every 5 years, and then every 2 years. Now it's like every, well, within a year's time. Luke chapter 12 and verse 43. Luke chapter 12 verse 48. I'm going to be reading out of a few different translations here. This one is out of the American Standard Version. Luke 12 and verse 48. But he that knew not, keeping in mind who will judgment be harder for, those in the past or those at the end of the age. Luke 12, 48. But he that knew not and did things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. And to whom soever much is given, to him shall much be required. And to whom they commit much of him, will they ask the more? What time frame are the following parables of Yahshua referring to when we look at parables in Matthew, for example? Matthew 13 and verse 39 through 40, for example. The wheat and tares. The enemy who sowed them, the tares, that is the devil, harvest, the harvest at the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so it will be at the end of this age. Do the judgments change? I still think we see the same things that are required in the Old Testament from the people are the same things that are required from us. Obedience. Living according to what Yahweh tells us to do. Not being negligent of His Word, but being adherents to His Word in spirit and in truth. Of course, we know the wheat and the tares. The wheat grows, but so does the tares. We have a garden out here, and there's some good fruit coming, I think. But with that, the weeds are coming up all around. Amazing. What about the parable of the net? Matthew 13, verse 47 through 50. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. This is out of the New King James Version. And again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw out the bad. Kind of like with the wheat and tares. You bring in the good, but you throw out the bad. But it's interesting that the tares are burned up first. They're gathered and taken out of the way. It goes on here to say, so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. So in the following verse, we find the disciples, evidently with an unquestionable and no doubt fearful tone, when asked if they understood, said, yes, Master. And this is to take place at the end of the age, which is ahead of us still. But we know how Yahweh dealt with Israel, too. Is it any different? Those that disobeyed were left dead in the wilderness. Those that disobey Yahweh today can expect punishment unless they repent. Yahshua didn't do many miracles in that area that he was telling this parable in because of the unbelief of the people. Matthew 10, backing up a little bit, verse 14 through 15, Matthew 10, "Whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of that city or house, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." So we do see things such as mercy and compassion, in effect, that those that did not know much will not be judged as hard as those that knew quite a bit, but yet did not do what they knew to be right and true. I guess the question we should ask ourselves is, how much more severe will the judgment be for those that do believe, but don't do what they are instructed to do? Wouldn't it be willful sin to understand, but then sin anyway? Sin is knowing what to do and not doing it. Sin is breaking Yahweh's instructions. Again, sin is knowing what to do and not doing it. Yahweh tells us what to do. There's no question about it. Live that way and you will die. Well, live contrary to Yahweh's way and you will die a second death. Live Yahweh's way and you will have an opportunity to live forever. But even the Apostle Paul indicated that he could have disqualified or been disqualified, and that Yahshua himself actually warns, and he has the ability to blot out those from the book of life who would add to or take away from his words. Very serious stuff. Yahshua also said that he would spew out of his mouth those whose deeds are neither hot nor cold, or neither cold nor hot. Either way you look at it, we're not to be lukewarm. We are warned not to become lukewarm, and if we do become this way, then we are to recognize it, repent, and once again become zealous for Yahweh's word and way of life. We are warned that we can lose out in the end, even if we start out doing good. And it's a sobering fact. Look at Judas, who ended up betraying Yahshua. We find that in John 6 and verse 70. I'll just read it. This says, "Yahshua answered them, 'Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?'" This is the Greek way of saying adversary, Satan in the Old Testament, the Hebrew. But really, Judas didn't start out a devil, but he became one. He became an adversary for the truth, for he betrayed Yahshua. Yahshua specifically chose these 12 to be the foundation for the rest of the first fruits to come. But Judas, having been prophesied, ended up turning into a type of vessel for dishonor. He was originally even given the ability to do miracles. You find this in Matthew 10 and verse 1. But he didn't endure and overcome to the end. He was, in fact, unfaithful. Hebrews 10:26, I'm sure you know this by heart, "But if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sin." We also have this admonishment. You might turn here, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 20, starting. 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 20. You know, it talks about, you know, a dog returning to his vomit. We've been taken out of the world, been shown light. We're to live in that light. We're no longer to be living in darkness. And this message is going out to those that are just now coming out of darkness. And some will come and grow. Others may not. They may end up going elsewhere. They may end up going back to the world. 2 Peter 2, verses 20 and 21. "For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Master and Savior Yahshua, Messiah, they are again entangled therein and are overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn away from the holy commandment delivered unto them. Luke 14 and verse 34 through 35. This is out of a Darby translation. I think we know this one fairly well. Luke 14, 34 through 35. Salt then is good, but if the salt also has become savorless, wherewith shall we be seasoned? Or wherewith shall it be seasoned? It is proper neither for land nor for dung. It is cast out. He who has ears, let him hear. We have ears. We have the understanding that Yahweh has given us. He's opened up our minds. We're given truth. And we're holding on to it. And we are to strive and overcome and not let go until the end. What about those not in Messiah? What about those not really having all the truth? Not having, and not that we have all the truth, but you know, if we have Messiah, isn't He truth? We understand how it is for those among us who have made a decision to move forward in baptism and follow, worship, obey Yahweh through Yahshua the Messiah. But what about those who hear the word, understand it, but then refuse to do anything about it? What will happen to them? What reasons would a person have for not accepting the blood of Yahshua and following him? You know, it comes to a point when we are counting the costs and we come to understand, count the costs of not doing it. There's a cost for not coming when you're called, when you've been given so much. To know what to do and then to not do it. It's sin. What reason would a person have for not accepting the blood of Yahshua and following him? The list is regrettably too long for many. In the parable of the banquet, when certain ones were asked to attend, the following excuses followed. This is found in Luke 14, 18 through 20. Luke 14, 18 through 20. It says, "And they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. The first said to him, 'I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused.' And another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused.'" Excuse me, I've got to go. I kind of understand what you're doing, but I'm sorry, I've got other things. I'm busy. That's basically what these people are saying. "I pray thee, have me excused." Another said, I married a wife, and I therefore cannot come." That's a good excuse, right? Matthew 22, and verse 5. Read out of the American Standard Version. And this is a parable of the wedding of the king's son. And, you know, of course, this is an allusion to the coming wedding, marriage, supper in the kingdom. But some of these invited said, well, basically says in Matthew 22:5, but they made light of it. They made light of the invitation. And they went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his merchandise. Have you seen what's happening today? People are, I think they said something like someone on Facebook just had 10 million. I think 10 million visitors, which is some record that was broke for someone who is alive and you know, people are just infatuated with. I think the president came in second, and others, you know, follow. But, you know, where are people going? Where are they spending their time? What are they doing today? They're spending it with merchandise, with things, with activities that can certainly take us away. You know, didn't Yahshua say something about, you know, you're going to have to even be able or willing to leave your family life to be able to come and follow me. Maybe we'll get into that, but It seems that those hearing this message should ask, does anything keep us from Yahweh? Does anything keep us from doing His will? Do we make light of His invitation? Certainly we must help an ailing parent or spouse. Certainly we must be respectful of the needs of others, especially in our own family. But do those things make us walk away from our calling? I'm speaking of those that will be viewing this on DVD or CD, on the internet. You know, a number of us are here because we understand what we should be doing, and we're here because of that. But there's more room. There's empty seats here still. There's more room to grow. Yahweh is still building His family. Yahweh is still calling. And Yahshua is still choosing. Who is He choosing? Is He choosing those that step up to the plate and start doing what Yahweh shares and shows them? I suspect. Some say, I can't keep the seventh day holy because, you fill in the blank. Or I can't keep the feasts of Yahweh. Again, you fill in the blank. And the list goes on. There are those in situations where they have had to walk away from good paying jobs, plural. Families, plural. And other demanding situations. Again, plural. Each situation is different. Don't get me wrong. There are situations that you need to use some common sense and put your trust in Yahweh to provide an open door, so to speak. Once it's revealed to you, once you see it, take it. Do not say no to Yahweh's calling. Make a plan, seek Yahweh's will, but don't say, I just don't need to follow Yahweh. I have too much other stuff to do. I have demanding situations. Nothing should be so demanding that we do not start obeying as best as we can Yahweh, the Father of us all. When Yahweh opens up our minds to the truth of His ways, it is our starting point and calling to start walking on the straight and narrow. And we are to continue to grow in grace and knowledge of the Master and of the Father. Have you seen what's happening in the world? The economic troubles, the various things that are going on, the talk of one world government, the financial one world currency that they're talking about. These things are still being discussed, and I think there's a move towards that. I think when we look at the beast system and the prophecies that are going to take place, I think we see a move towards that direction. So how long will it take? I'm not sure. But while we have an opportunity, while today is still today, we need to make a move and draw closer to our Heavenly Father. Those of us here are doing that. Those that hear this message may be questioning whether or not they want to take the further steps to draw close to the Father. Well, indeed, it should be done. Have you ever seen an hourglass? Well, in fact, have you ever been in a schoolroom where, you know, teacher says, time's up? That time is coming. When the last person is sealed. But we also know what an hourglass looks like. We know there's only so much time given once the grains of sand started to fall. It's been almost 6,000 years since Adam and Eve's big mistake. We have their record along with many others that are written down for our admonition. Israel was a backsliding harlot at times, and the people suffered because of it. Their children suffered. Their children's children. I think we read in the Ten Commandments today that would be the case. And Yahweh said, if they only had a heart to obey, that it would go well with them and their children and children's children. If you would turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37, chapter 5. We find a chapter here that is, I think, somewhat multifaceted in that it's talking about the resurrection, but I think some are still going to be brought into the kingdom before the second resurrection, that is, as physical people. Let's take a look. Ezekiel 37, verses 5 through 6. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live, and I will lay sinews upon you, and will gather or will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and ye shall know that I am Yahweh. Won't that be amazing for those that died in the wilderness to be raised up in the second resurrection? To be judged. Well, while this seems to be pointing to the second resurrection overall, no doubt King David and other faithful patriarchs like Abraham will be brought into the coming kingdom before the majority of mankind is raised in the second resurrection. I think we find scriptural evidence for that. But Yahweh does not leave his people unaware, but tells us that we will know what is going on in the last days. Today we know more. Today Yahweh reveals to his people what he is doing and what is about to take place. There is a much greater promise built on the foundation of the apostles now. Find that in Revelation 21:14. Eternal life is now being offered for the first time since Pentecost and in the New Testament. Acts 2 and verse 39 says, For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all who are far off, even as many as Yahweh our Elohim shall call. The question should be asked, do you think that you're not called? Do you understand that Yahshua is the true name of Yahweh's Son and that through him we have forgiveness of sins? And that we are to be obedient to Yahweh, the Heavenly Father, in this life and the next. Consider your calling. Look at what is being offered. 1 Corinthians 15. Let's all turn there. 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 53. Because this is what is promised. This is what is coming for the saints. This is what is coming for the first fruits, the elect, if you overcome to the end. The Apostle Paul was unsure of himself. Early on, but as he came to the close of his life, he was more sure that he was going to obtain a crown of eternal life and the rewards that go with that. He said, I have run the race. I have kept the faith. There now remains a reward. He also says in 1 Corinthians 15, 52 through 53, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, for this mortal must put on immortality. A change so wonderful and awe-inspiring that we won't truly understand just how wonderful it is until the change comes. We have a lot to be concerned about today, don't we? I mean, family, get sick, job problems, these type of things come. But if we keep our focus, if we look towards the future, there's hope. There doesn't have to be judgment in the sense of condemnation or punishment. It can be life. It can be life everlasting. But what is the alternative if we turn from our calling and continue in sin, thus rejecting Yahweh? Revelation 21 and verse 8. Revelation, which is a book of revealing. Revelation 28, verse 8. Revelation 21, verse 8. We read, But the fearful, I guess we could say the timid, the unbelieving, faithless, unfaithful, and the abominable, that is, the detestable, the vile, the wicked, and the murderers, those that are hateful towards brethren, premeditated killing even, and whoremongers, another way of saying fornicators, and sorcerers, another way of, you know, referring to witches, and idolaters, basically anything being put between you and Yahweh that keeps you apart, and all liars, just lying, deceitful, deceiving, untrue, false. All of these shall have their part in the lake of which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We preach repentance. We let people know, hey, you've got to change your life. If you understand at all what's going on, if you understand that there's a Messiah that is available to you for forgiveness of sins, then don't turn away. When you understand that that same Savior, his name is Yahshua, wants you to do as he did, keeping Sabbath, keeping the feast, eating clean, doing these things which are proper for us, don't ignore it. Follow in his footsteps. Do what he asks. Do what is commanded. And do it with joy. And it is joyful. We read in Psalms 119 of King David, you know, saying he knew more than his teachers because he meditated upon the laws of Yahweh day and night. He thought about them throughout the day. And in the Bible, are we not told to choose life? We need to start making and taking the right steps to be right in Yahweh's sight, saying yes to his calling. Choose life. Strive to be a first fruit in the coming kingdom of Yahweh. Let's go over to Luke chapter 13, verse 24. Have I misspoken? Have I misspoken? Okay. Sometimes I just like to check. Because I don't want to misspeak. I don't want to tell falsehood. I don't want to teach things that are not true. I want to teach the truth. And we all need to teach the truth and help others and be bold about it. Luke 13, verses 24 through 28. Strive to enter into the straight gate. For many, I will say, will seek to enter and shall not be able. Why? Because they don't understand. And sometimes when they hear the truth, they reject it out of hand. Because they say, well, this can't be. My father, my father's father, but the father before him did what I'm doing today. But they don't understand that what they're doing today is straight out of pagans' beliefs and practices. It's garbage. Yahweh calls those type of things abominations. Strong language. When once the master of the house has risen and has shut the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Master, Master, open up to us. And he shall answer and say to you, I know not where you are from. Then you shall begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in your presence. I remember talking to you and having conversations. What? I believe in the Messiah. You kept those feasts and stuff. You kept those Jewish things. Well, I didn't need to do that. I'm ad-libbing a little bit. It's not what it says here, but I think we can kind of get that understanding today. And see what's going on in the reality of the situation. People are deceived. And that is a mark for the end times. Matthew 24. It's the first thing that Yahshua warns about. Be not deceived. We see deception running rampant. And then you shall begin to say, we have eaten and we drunk in your presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. I read your booklets, these type of things, the teachings. But he shall say to you, I tell you, I know not where you come from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. You lawless individuals, you had an opportunity to be lawful and to obey, and to do what I've told you to do, but and what my Father has told you to do, but you didn't do it. Again, I'm ad-libbing. But I think we get that sense, the deeper meaning of what's being said here. But notice the judgment. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of Elohim, and you yourselves thrust out. Yahshua is alive in his people today. The body of Messiah is in the process of witnessing to the ends of the earth today. In fact, Yahshua sternly warns of the judgment concerning the figurative sheep and goats. Here specifically, speaking of the goats, in Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 44, I'll be reading out of the New International Version on this one. Matthew chapter 25, starting in verse 44. And they will answer, Master, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison, speaking of the goats, and did not help you? He will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these. Is that speaking of the sheep? I think so. You did not do it for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It's a division. There's a division. Clean, unclean, wrong, right. These type of divisions have been made clear from Genesis on. Thou you shall do. You shall do this. You shall not do that. The distinction. And so that we'll know. And as like King David understood, though he made some mistakes, he understood in studying the word that he became more wise. He became more understanding. More so than his teachers. Not everyone will listen. Not all of those will come who are called, even though they are evidently given an understanding of the truth. From the parable of Lazarus and the rich man, we find something to meditate upon. Luke 16, verses 26 through 31. Luke 16, verses 26 through 31. An illusion. There's some deeper meanings here, but it says, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father, no, Father, Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Some deep meanings here. In other words, some will just flat out refuse to listen to the truth, even though it's been proclaimed even from times of old, from Genesis on. But for you that may be listening to this message, maybe you've only heard a couple and this is the one that you're hearing now, you're starting to understand. Maybe have an inkling of what Yahweh is actually wanting. Will you accept the calling? Say yes to life, even eternal life. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, 18 through 19. Now I've heard people say, well, Scripture tells us to reason together. Us as in you and me and others. But I think what we find here is Yahweh is speaking. And Yahweh says, come now and let us reason together, saith Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient. The Apostle Paul himself, called out of the world, puts in a nutshell our calling and opportunity. I'll just read Romans 8:30. It says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. The whole picture of what is yet to come, even for us, if we overcome. And for those that are willing to accept the calling, that will start doing right, that they might be chosen and be brought into the fold of the sheep, not separated with the goats. Yahweh is trustworthy. Don't be discouraged by thinking it is impossible to please Him. If you are willing and obedient to the best of your ability, then Yahweh will be well pleased and help you in those areas that seem impossible to overcome. After Yahshua told his disciples that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom, they were amazed and wondered who could be saved. How is it even possible? And Yahshua said to them in Matthew 19:26, Yahshua beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with Elohim all things are possible. Yahshua goes on to encourage us by saying in Matthew 19 verse 29, this is, I'll be reading the New King James Version on this one. Matthew 19:29. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, I'm sure we could add some other things. Things that we've given up here to be here, to do our Father's will, to love Him. Isn't that what being obedient to Him is? To Him? I mean, He defines that. His Son defines that. To love Him is to obey Him. But whoever leaves all these things for His name's sake shall receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. And the things that we struggle with now, we will not struggle with anymore. Forever. It's an eternal joy, eternal happiness, eternal. It's hard to imagine. But the Word promises that these things are coming for those that love Him. Though time is running out, end time judgments are approaching, there is still time to take action and to make your calling and election sure. Then you too will have an opportunity to say the psalmist's words. Psalm 118:16-17, we'll end with this. Or we'll close with this scripture. Psalm 118:16-17. Read through the New American Version on this, NIV. Psalms 118:16-17. Yahweh's right hand is lifted high. Yahweh's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what Yahweh has done. How can you say you won't die? Maybe we could read it this way. That is, for the saints who overcome to the end, Yahweh's right hand, Yahshua, is lifted high. Yahweh's right hand, Yahshua, has done mighty things. I will not die a second death in him, but live and will proclaim what Yahweh has done forevermore. At the beginning, we asked, who will judgment be harder for, those in the past or those at the end of the age? Maybe the question should rather be, how hard was judgment for those in the past? And how will judgment be both now and at the end of the age for those that knew what was right but chose to do what was wrong? We remember what it says about those given much. Much is demanded. That knew to do good, but did not do it. What did Yahweh mean when he said, choose life? What did the voice from heaven mean when it said, come out of her, my people, so you will not partake of her sins and receive of her plagues? Let's draw close to our Heavenly Father through Yahshua Messiah. Hallelujah.